This is The Takeaway. I'm Todd Zwillick. Great to have you with us today. And get out your cell phone calculator if you need it, because the number of major wireless carriers in America could be going from 4 to 3.
Today, we're announcing that T-Mobile and Sprint have reached a definitive agreement to come together and form a new, stronger company.
That enthusiastic man is T-Mobile CEO John Legere, announcing the nearly $27 billion proposed merger between the country's third and fourth largest wireless carriers over the weekend. Now, what's the advantage, according to these companies?
A company that will supercharge the Un-carrier strategy and create robust competition and lower prices across wireless, video, and broadband. A company that will create thousands of new American jobs, and the only company with the capacity to quickly create a broad and deep nationwide 5G network.
Well, John Legere sounds excited about the deal, but these two companies will now have to convince the Justice Department not to go to court to try and block this merger, which the Justice Department did in another major merger case that was in closing arguments on Monday, AT&T's proposed $85 billion acquisition of Time Warner. Now, that case could have major implications for T-Mobile and Sprint and other future mergers as well. Cecilia Kong is here, technology reporter for The New York Times. Cecilia, good to have you.
Hi, Todd.
Well, let's start with this T-Mobile-Sprint deal. John Legere is excited. We could hear it in his voice. What does he say? What do these two companies say could be gained from a merger of this size?
Well, first of all, John Legere is always excited. So he's a pretty colorful person. The T-Mobile and Sprint are the third and fourth largest carriers, and they trail quite a bit behind Verizon and AT&T in terms of the number of subscribers they have. They very much want to combine, and they've tried this before, actually two times before, because they want to be able to put together their resources, get more scale, more efficiencies, as they say, so they can compete against AT&T and Verizon. They basically want to go head-to-head with the biggest carriers who are nationwide distributors of wireless service.
Now, these companies, T-Mobile and Sprint, say this is the only way to build a super fast, viable 5G network across the country, that you need the scale to do that. Is that really true, that this is the only way to do it, or is this really about leveraging in the consumer market?
That is a stretch to say that this is the only way to create a 5G network. AT&T and Verizon are already planning and well on their way of building the same kind of network. T-Mobile and Sprint were also planning to. To say that this is the only way that the nation can develop and build a 5G network is probably not true, and it's going to be a hard argument to carry with regulators going forward. That message really is to an audience of just a few in Washington. The U.S. government, particularly the White House, has declared 5G as a vital national security and economic interest. So that message is really geared toward the Trump administration and regulators here in Washington.
Mm. Now, then, let's talk about what consumers need to hear when they hear about a deal like this. One great thing about the cellular war, Cecilia, has been all the pressure, the downward pressure on prices, bundles, deals, lower prices as companies compete for your business. Would a deal like this, a merger like this, provide less motivation to a couple of behemoths to compete on price?
You know, that's right. The wireless industry is sort of a rare bright spot in terms of consumer prices going down over the years. And many people would point to the fact that T-Mobile and Sprint remained independent companies, and there are four wireless carriers. And to get a sense of why prices have gone down, one should look at what happened in 2014 when federal regulators at that time told T-Mobile and Sprint, no, we would not approve your merger. And so they abandoned that deal. And right after that, T-Mobile and Sprint and then Verizon and AT&T launched a series of actions that lower prices overall for the industry, and all kinds of new plans, innovative plans like unlimited data. That was actually prompted over the last few years by the fact that these four carriers competed very fiercely. Regulators actually dubbed John Legere as the Maverick wireless industry executive, because he was so aggressive on prices and bringing them down. So to remove that equation of four carriers is going to be a hard argument to bring to this administration.
Now, Cecilia, there's a bit of merger mania going on right now in the industry. AT&T and Time Warner are trying to combine. AT&T is a cellular carrier like T-Mobile and Sprint. Time Warner, of course, on the content side. You were in the courthouse yesterday as their antitrust case winds down, the Department of Justice taking a dim view of that merger. What's going on with that case?
Yeah, this is certainly merger mania happening right now in Washington, particularly in the telecom and media space. And in closing arguments yesterday, it looked like both sides have not moved at all closer to each other. They are digging their heels on their arguments. They have very different views on how their merger would affect consumers. The Justice Department thinks that the merger would lead to higher prices for every month for cable subscribers. They even have a number on it. They say 27 cents per month. Would be the increase for the average cable or satellite subscriber. The companies, AT&T and Time Warner, are very adamant that the reverse would happen, that their merger would provide so many more, a bigger competitor to these streaming new rivals from Silicon Valley, and that this combined company, AT&T and Time Warner, would eventually be able to reduce prices overall for viewers of entertainment online as well as over cable. So they have very different views. They both sides adamantly argued against the other, and they picked apart each other's arguments. And now it's this case is in the hands of the judge, Judge Richard Leon, who is going to take the next 5 weeks or so. He's going to render an opinion on June 12th of one of the biggest antitrust cases to come in many, many years, and a real surprise case because these are two companies that don't directly compete. And so this kind of a lawsuit to block this kind of a merger is rare. And so the results of this will be closely watched, not just by people in telecom and media, but across corporate America, because there's so much pending interest in consolidation and mergers in many industries.
Well, the fate of the AT&T Time Warner merger now in the hands of an antitrust judge, as you said, Cecilia Kong, and lots of people waiting in the wings watching this case. Cecilia Kong, technology reporter for the New York Times. Thanks as always.
You're so welcome. Thanks.
It's Jane calling from San Francisco. We should not be paying any more than people pay in Europe, but because lawmakers have allowed a cartel to develop among the telecom companies, we do.
Corey from Sheridan. And the cell service is decent here. We get one or two bars, and it seems like we only have one internet service provider who cannot seem to give us our promised speeds, and I would love to see more cell towers built and love to see more internet service providers come in to give the one more competition.
This is Jordan from the Dalles. We have very limited choices for our internet and service providers. And with the monopoly that we have in our nation, it's in the interest of the carriers to set the rates and quality of service, leaving us with very little choice, and we pay the cost.
Well, let's get a little bit of analysis now. You know, T-Mobile and Sprint have been in merger talks in the past. Back in 2014, these two companies floated the idea. It was met with a lot of skepticism at the time by my next guest, Tom Wheeler, former chairman of the FCC. Tom, thanks for coming back.
Hey, Todd, great to be with you.
Well, let's start off with the AT&T and Time Warner merger as it relates to T-Mobile and Sprint, because as Cecilia Kong just described, an antitrust judge will now decide if that big AT&T Time Warner merger goes through. What can T-Mobile and Sprint take from this case, and what are they watching for in the judge's ruling?
Well, I agree with Cecilia that it is a bellwether for antitrust policy for the next multiple years, but I disagree that it has a relationship to the Sprint T-Mobile proposal, because the AT&T and Time Warner, as Cecilia pointed out, is a vertical merger, and they don't directly compete with each other today. The Sprint T-Mobile merger, however, is a horizontal merger of companies that today are violent competitors. And that competition would be removed from the market. So I think you look at the horizontal, you look at the T-Mobile Sprint a little differently than the Time Warner AT&T.
Now, that violence in competition, as you describe it, downward pressure on prices, lots of deals, lots of bundles, we mentioned it before, that violence, you could argue, has been a big benefit to people with cell phones. What'll happen if T-Mobile and Sprint manage to form one new company?
Well, I think you have to worry about what happens to competition. And consumers have been the beneficiaries of competition. I mean, you know, in the last year alone, wireless prices have gone down about 13% because everybody is competing with everybody else. And Sprint and T-Mobile, as Cecilia indicated, have been the leaders in creative new initiatives to spur competition. And so what we're talking about here is sacrificing the known benefits of competition, producing lower prices and innovative new services for this unknown new technology called 5G. And I think it's a great strategy by the companies to say, hey, we're going to blow right past the impact on consumers and talk about this 5G. But that's not the real issue. The real issue is, what's the impact on consumers?
Well, what's driving this merger mania? Why merge? Why get so big? They're already big. Why be gigantic?
Well, first of all, if you can do anything to reduce the amount of competition, it's good for you and your shareholders. And we've seen that. I mean, it used to be, you know, it was only, you know, a decade or so ago that there were six national wireless carriers, and they've slowly, slowly consolidated. And somebody has to draw the line. And what we tried to do in 2014 was to indicate that we were highly skeptical that that line needed to be moved down to three. And I think we've been proven right by the rewards that consumers have received as a result.
Now, what's the state, before we go, Tom Wheeler, of that skepticism in the Trump administration now? You were in the FCC in 2014, and the Trump Justice Department will take a look at this proposed merger as well.
Yes, and I hope they take a good, hard look at it. It's both the Justice Department and the FCC. The Justice Department has the job of making sure that the transaction does not jeopardize competition, and the FCC has to make a finding that the transaction advances the public interest. And I just think that going from four competitors to three competitors fails both those tests. It doesn't advance the public interest, and it does jeopardize competition.
Tom Wheeler, former chairman of the FCC 2013 to 2017. Tom, always a pleasure. Thank you.
Thanks, Todd.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.